In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Someday I hope that I'll be able to retire. My wife hopes it'll be sooner than I do, but that's irrelevant. And I hope that when I retire, I'll be able to come to an 8 o'clock service like this. Or an evening service on Saturday night or Sunday night, because y'all are my people. I like this. It's nice and peaceful. It's quiet. There's none of the chaos with, like, you know, we got to have this group go here for this Sunday school class and this one over here for this Sunday school class. And then, by the way, do we have the acolytes for this and this and this? This is calm. This is quiet. This is nice. Thank you for being here. And yes, someday I hope to join you. I'll get back to that. It's a real pleasure to be worshiping at St. Peter's in Brandon today. And I had a whole significant batch idea of what I was going to preach on this morning, but then the rising waters kind of changed my thoughts. And so I'll get to that in just a second. But I do want to lay my hands really quickly on the scripture, particularly the gospel, because there's part of that stays with all of us for quite a bit, and in particular, the part about divorce. That's something that often sits really profoundly on each and every one of us, because all of us have had our lives affected by divorce in one way or another. We might be the child of divorced parents. We might be the product of a blended family. We may have seen that go on with our children or otherwise. And I just want to make sure that I point out to remember context. Remember gospel context. Remember the history. Remember what's going on in that era. And remember in particular that Jesus is giving this instructions in trying to be really clear about protecting the women who were involved in divorce. Because in that first century world, women did not have a whole lot of rights. So becoming divorced, they were often kicked to the curb. And so he is really clearly setting out some expectations there that we don't just kick that other person to the curb that we're involved in a relationship with. He is speaking to the fact that we have to take care of each other. He's not necessarily speaking to a 20th or a 21st century ethic, okay? And so it's a much different contextual piece of things. Now, within all that, and I can speak to this because I remember my dad talking about how he always dealt with a lot of guilt over the fact that he had stood in front of an altar and made promises to God, and that in spite of making those promises, he was divorced. And I remember having those conversations with Dad frequently and finally getting to the point much later in life saying, "Dad, remember there's an essential piece that's involved here. And that essential piece doesn't fall within any of the gospel readings that talk about divorce or other things. It is the forgiveness that we all live with. The forgiveness that was offered to us freely by the cross. The forgiveness of Jesus conquering death for our sins." So you can hold on to that above all else, because that is the piece that ties all of us together as Christians. Okay? Like I said, wanted to touch the scripture. Wanted to touch that piece of scripture. Now, I want to move to our context. As Ken and I were talking about a little while ago, Jackson, Mississippi is in the national news, so it bears sharing some of our concerns and some of our anxiety, and also some of the opportunity to see how God is speaking to us through all of this. This may sound inappropriate, but I'm going to say it anyhow and share this with you. I've used this story before in preaching, but we've all heard of the guy in the flood when he was, the flood's coming, you need to get out. And said, no, no, no. I have a great relationship with God. God is going to take care of me. And the flood waters rise, and he moves to the, not from the porch, but into the house. And that was the sheriff that came driving by to give that information. Now the flood waters have risen, and then also all of a sudden the sheriff's coming back in a boat and saying, Joe, you need to get out. Okay? You need to evacuate. It's dangerous. He said, no, no, no. I don't want to evacuate because I know that God is going to take care of me. So, but the waters keep rising, and Joe has had to move up to the second level of his house, and he's out on a balcony now. And then a boat comes, and again, this one's a big, excuse me, it's a helicopter this time. And so the helicopter comes, and he says, no, 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 I'm staying here because God is going to take care of me. I'm all right. And so the helicopter splits, and then finally Joe has busted a hole through the ceiling and is up on the roof, sitting there holding on to the antenna, and he's looking up at the heavens, and he's saying, Lord, why haven't you taken care of me? And he said, Joe, I sent you a sheriff, I sent you a boat and a helicopter, what more do you want? May sound a little frightening given what's going on right now, but I think my point in sharing that story is that often we miss the holy moments that hit us in our lives. Often we miss the holy moments within disaster protocol. We miss the holy moments within disaster relief. We miss the holy moments within that preparation as well. We miss those holy moments and realize that we were in the midst of God's people when our family and friends came and gathered to help us get out of the house and evacuate, or to just simply move the stuff. We knew our house was only going to take on a foot of water, to move the stuff onto the higher part, or to help us with the sandbag, or to help us with finding a place for the pets, that sort of stuff. Sometimes we miss those holy moments, but that is God's people coming together and sharing something essential, which is being the body of Christ. No, not everyone is able to fill sandbags. Not everyone is able to move that big dresser. Not everyone is able to make the great comfort food. Not everyone is able to find a place for your dogs to evacuate to and otherwise. But the body of Christ is. And that's where we come together as the body of Christ. The many different talents that it takes to see that go, that happen. The many different skills that it takes to make sure that someone is safe and someone remains safe. And I might also add the many different talents that it takes to help someone deal with the grief after something like that takes place. And to deal with their own anxiety and their own fears and their own loss. That's where the body of Christ continues to work and continues to be. So, as I said, with old Joe, who was looking for, who said no to the helicopter, no to the boat, no to the sheriff's car, he was failing to see that the body of Christ and God was with him through that. And that the body of Christ was a part of that journey and that anxiety and that fear. Friends, we are the body of Christ. And we are called to serve. And at times we're called to also be willing to make ourselves vulnerable to being served. And that's not always easy. That's one of the, maybe one of the tougher things that any of us has to encounter, is being willing to say, here I am, Lord. I'm vulnerable. I don't know what to do next. Lord, should I take this boat ride? Should I take the helicopter? Should I take the sheriff? What do I do? Some of it means letting go and being vulnerable to some of the most basic things that we don't want to let ourselves be vulnerable to, which is our own fear and our own anxiety. But the body of Christ is there assembled to do that for us. The body of Christ is assembled to make us whole, if you will, and to see to those anxieties and those needs that we may have. That's what the faith communities do. That's what we do as the body of Christ. That's what we gather together for today, is to go from this place to be the body of Christ. last week at council, I spoke about lift up your hearts. And I talked about that sense of us lifting up our hearts in service, lifting up our hearts in praise, lifting up our hearts in stewardship, lifting up our hearts in gratitude. And part of lifting up our hearts is making ourselves available and making ourselves willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. We're going to say that in just a couple of minutes. And then afterwards, we're going to come forward to the filling station here. The filling station that fills our hearts and our souls up for service. Service as the body of Christ and service to the body of Christ. To the vulnerable who are hanging on the cross. To the vulnerable who have not yet heard of his love. To the vulnerable who are in need. We step forward, arms and hands stretched out, to receive that sacrament which fills up our hearts and fills up our souls. And then we leave, willing to lift up our hearts and to go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of Christ. Friends, there will be, and there already are, many of our brothers and sisters who will need the body of Christ in the days to come. And I suspect many of you have already reached out to them. I'm thankful and grateful that you have and will. I'm thankful and grateful for the fact that you're here today, reaching out for the sacrament to send you forth to continue to do his work. And remember, within all that we do, God can be present and is present if we allow God to be present. If we keep our eyes open to the possibility that God is working in our lives, if we keep our eyes open to the many different ways God is calling or is reaching out to us, we can make a difference and we can continue to be the body of Christ in the world at large. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.